The text for our devotion this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. In God's Word, we find that Scripture often uses imagery to help us visualize Bible teachings. For example, we can recall Jesus' many parables, such as the sower sowing his seed into the different types of soils, to illustrate how God's Word takes root in the souls of different types of people. Or we may think of the many analogies and metaphors in the Bible, such as in Matthew chapter 19, where the gospel writer shares, "It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God," illustrating that there is just one way to eternal life. In our text, we're provided another analogy, this one for an athletic event that was perhaps well known to the people at Paul's time. A running race, maybe it was the 400, the quarter mile, one of the most challenging races in sport. Is that a sprint? Or is it one that you actually have to use some strategy to make sure that you have that kick at the end to have endurance to finish strong? Even when you think about the Apostle Paul himself, a certain image comes to mind, doesn't it? That of a strong and a bold man who always was willing to stand up to defend his faith in his Savior. As a matter of fact, in the verses leading up to our text, Paul explained to the Philippian Christians that if anyone had any right to say that he had salvation all figured out and could do it on his own, it would be him. He said, "I was a follower of the Jewish law. I was of the people of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and I was a Pharisee." But then Paul says that all those law-oriented things are garbage. Garbage in comparing to knowing and holding on to faith in Christ Jesus. And then Paul makes the statement in our text, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." When I think of pressing on to win the prize, my age is going to come out now. I think of some of the greatest moments in the history of 20th century track and field. 1900s now, people. This could be a YouTube event here coming up. I think of YouTube video images of a guy named Roger Bannister, who in 1954 pressed on to do what was thought at the time impossible, to run a mile in under 4 minutes. And I think of video of the 1972 Munich Olympic champion Dave Waddle, who came from being so far off the lead in the first lap of a two-lap race that he was so far off the lead that he wasn't even in the TV picture or the video. He came all the way back from being off the screen to sweeping past all the other runners to inch out in the final step victory to win the tape in the 800-meter run. These are images of running competitors who pressed on to win an earthly prize. This type of image of someone leaving everything on the line to win the prize is exactly the image Paul wants us to have about how he encourages us to press on to win the prize of heaven for which God has already won for us through the work of his Son Jesus. Now understand, however, that pressing on to win the prize is not something we can do to gain God's favor. That's not it. Rather, we must understand that because of our sinful condition, all that we're able to do by nature is nothing. We can't do anything to win God's favor. God demands perfection. We're imperfect. Therefore, a just God must declare when we're at his throne, guilty, condemnation, guilty and punished to eternal death, separation from him in hell. No matter how much pressing we do, we're not good enough. But God, in his fatherly love for us, his creation did have a plan. He sent his one and only Son, true God, to come to earth as true man, to live the perfect life that we couldn't live, to suffer the punishment that we were scheduled to endure, to die the death that we deserved in our place, to cover the consequences of our sinfulness, and in so doing, exchange his perfection for our imperfection. And so by faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit, God declares each one of us not guilty, but forgiven, and instead calls us his children and heirs of the gift of heaven. Some might be wondering then, well, why do we even need to heed Paul's advice and press on? The answer lies in Paul's words. It's to keep our focus. It can't be easy as a sprinter to want to continue to endure physical hardship. Have you ever been there where you feel like your lungs are burning because you're running so hard? Or to feel that physical pain of shin splints and yet trying to keep on running despite that, to win a race? In that same analogy, we must constantly press on to win the goal of heaven. We can't relax. It's not easy, especially when we consider how the mainstream of society is constantly encouraging us to veer off the course of winning the prize as it strays and encourages us to lead a life contrary to God's will for us. This is an urgent matter, people. It's not about winning a medal. This is a matter of eternal life. The Barna Research Group a few years ago, it's a Christian research organization, they put out a study on college students. And what they found out is that of students raised in Christian homes, that when those students who were regularly connected to God and his word during their upbringing, when those students went off to college, 2/3 of them lost their focus and stopped going to church. And even more startling, of that 2/3 that stopped going to church, many never found their way back. They've lost their focus. They've risked losing what has been gained for them by their Savior in the gift of heaven. That's why we need to press on to win the prize for which God has called us in Christ Jesus. We can't stop the race halfway. You can't feel as though, oh, I'll come back to it sometime later in my life when it's more convenient. It doesn't work that way. The rest of the story behind Roger Bannister's achievement is that the race in which he broke the 4-minute mile for the first time in the history of mankind, it wasn't even really a race. It wasn't like a track and field meet. It was a time trial. What that means is that the race was set up to help Bannister achieve the goal. In the first 2 laps of the race, he had a pace setter. So a mile race is a 4-lap race. In the first 2 laps, he had a pace setter, a rabbit, you might say, who was to go out there and push him to go into the lead. And then after 2 laps, that pace setter dropped off. Then the person in the 3rd position jumped ahead and took the lead and became the pace setter, the rabbit, for the 3rd lap. And then finally, in that 4th lap, it was up to Bannister by himself to burn through that feeling of burnt lung and the shin splints that he had been suffering, to push on, push on, push on, press on. His time was 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. That focus made him the first human to run a mile in under 4 minutes. And Paul's point is exactly why we have a Bethany Lutheran College. Bethany assists you by offering itself as the pace setter, a college where students can continue to be nurtured in God's word so that faith continues to grow despite the many temptations and troubles that constantly come your way. As we press on, take advantage of the corporate opportunities we have here at Bethany to grow in faith. Daily chapel, we're here today. Will we be here in a week, in a month, at the end of the semester? Weekly worship opportunities in area congregations. Religion classes, they're not just for a grade. They're not just to meet a gen ed requirement. Use those as opportunities to search the scriptures, to study, to ask questions, to grow in your faith. Mission trip and Bible study opportunities, and in your personal life through consistent prayer life and personal Bible reading. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called each of us heavenward in Christ Jesus. May we remain focused on dedicating our lives to him, as we state with the hymn writer, "Lord, take my moments and my days. Take my hands, my voice, my treasure. Take my will, my love. Take me, Lord. Make me yours, ever only, all for you." Amen. Let's rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, through the perfect life of your Son Jesus and the sacrifice of his life to die for us, the prize of heaven has been won for all. We praise and we thank you for the gift of your Son to be our Savior. Please work in us daily, your Holy Spirit, to believe this good news of what Jesus has done for us. Open our hearts to believe in the prize of heaven. Keep us, Lord, in your faith and favor. And Lord, then help us to follow Jesus' example. Use us. Help each of us to reach out to those around us to share this good news of a Savior from sin. In the joy of eternal life won for us, may we be a blessing to others so that they see the love of Jesus through us. Be with us each and every day as we live and work and worship you, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We continue with the final verses of hymn 444.